have your Bibles, would you open to the Gospel of Luke? Luke chapter 5. I want to begin reading in verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and all of Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." One of the most beloved miracle stories in the Gospels, at least for me. I remember as a child in Sunday school, that teacher telling that story, having that big teaching picture of the man being let down through the roof. One year at Vacation Bible School as a child, we all had a shoebox, and we got to cut out the top of the box and put saran wrap over it and recreate that house. A story of faith, of friends, of healing, and forgiveness. According to Luke, Jesus is doing what he's now done throughout this first part of his ministry. He was teaching. And on this day, the Pharisees and the other religious leaders were there too, probably not wanting to learn, but wanting to catch Jesus. Luke said that they came from every village in Galilee and all of Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of God was upon Jesus. And then it happened. The room was filled. The room, the crowds, all of these were there as they had been earlier with Jesus. And here they come, friends bringing their friend, a paralyzed man. They can't get to Jesus because of the crowds. They go on the roof. Verses 18 and 19, they removed the tiles and they let the man down. Don't you know the teaching probably stopped? Don't you know as they began to think, what is happening? This man is, what are they doing? Who is that? And they let the man down. The scripture said, at the very feet of Jesus. And Jesus, seeing the faith of the friends, looks at the man and says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, a lot's going on here. Sins are forgiven. The man needed physical healing, and Jesus pronounces forgiveness of sin. Now, remember the day and the culture, and I'm afraid for still some today, there was a belief that any illness, especially disease, any physical malady was a result of sin. We're studying Job. We just talked about that last Wednesday in our Wednesday night class. Job's friends, everyone thought Job was having all of this mess because of his sin. And these, when they brought this man before Jesus, everyone thought, "I wonder what he did. If you had leprosy, ooh, must have had a lot of sin. You were blind, Wonder what he did if you were lame like this one sin. Verses 21 and 22, the Pharisees, they began to think to themselves, he just said, your sins are forgiven. Who is he to forgive these sins? They begin to think, and this should concern us all. Jesus says, I know what you're thinking in your heart. A connection between the mind and the heart. Why are you thinking these things in your heart? And then Jesus makes this bold proclamation, I am the Son of Man, and the Son of Man has been given God's power, for I am God incarnate, he was saying. Jesus is making a messianic statement. He is proclaiming here early in Luke's gospel, I am the Son of Man, I am God in flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus here has double authority. Jesus forgives sin. Jesus brings physical healing. And he tells the man, get up, take your mat, and walk. And by faith, the man does. And all the crowd is filled with awe. And they are amazed. And they give praise to God. A great story indeed. I think many of us have gone back in our minds, even this morning, and have tried to picture that story as a child, as a teen, and now for us today. But what does this have to do with our theme? Press on. Paul said, press on, forgetting what's behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead as you run that race to win the prize toward the upward call of God. Press on. Press on. We can never move forward. We can never move forward in our walk with God. We can never move forward until real healing happens. Healing of the heart and healing of the soul. We can never move forward. We're always stuck where we are until healing occurs. Listen, Jesus heals. This story is a story of healing. Jesus said, get up, carry your mat, and go. And he did. Do you believe that Jesus still brings healing today? I do. Physical healing. Now, I don't understand all about that. I don't understand how some are healed and some aren't. We don't understand a lot. We pray for healing, and we believe that God is able through Christ. Listen, healing happens all around us. Maybe it happens so often that we don't even see it. This is not a political statement, but I thank God for a COVID vaccine that brought healing. You think that was of God? I do. Think how many more deaths there would have been without the vaccine. Do you not believe that healing occurs through the wonderful hands of doctors and physicians who administer chemotherapy and radiation therapy? I'm thinking of a church member who every day has such diabetes and he wears that pack, and that insulin brings healing to his body. Jonas Salk, in his wisdom, who found that polio vaccine, our nation was amazed, and healing took place. Healing, it's all around us. And we know for a believer that we're not healed forever. That as a believer, ultimate healing happens one day when this old body wears out and we go to be with the Father in heaven. Physical healing happened, and it did in this story. But the healing that I see even more than that, the healing that I'm aware of every single day, it seems, are those who are crippled, broken, hurting, paralyzed. They're broken, hurting, paralyzed spiritually and emotionally. How many times have I seen marriages that are dead, that are so broken that if I were, I would say walk away. But through the power of God, through Jesus Christ, I've seen miracles of healing happen. And not only in marriages, but in families. Families that are just torn asunder, so paralyzed and broken, that are restored through Jesus. And relationships of friendships where we think they can never, ever be repaired. And by our own power, they can't. But when Jesus gets a hold of it, healing happens, and not the least of which are churches. Churches which are so broken that experience healing. Healing through the person of Christ. Now, it takes faith. It takes faith for healing. This man's faith is not mentioned, but surely when he stood up after being paralyzed, after being brought in on a mat, he stands up. It says immediately he got up. That's a position of faith. But the one that Jesus mentioned, when the men bring him in, or his friends bring him in, men or women, when they brought him at the feet of Jesus, Jesus didn't even mention the man. He said, your friend's faith. Your friend's. Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. I think of those all around us who stand in the gap. Those all around us who pull back the roof in order that they might let us down into the presence of Jesus. Think of those parents who continue to intercede and stand in the gap for their children. Our daughter will turn 27 this week, and I think I pray more for my kids now than when they were teenagers, and that's saying a lot. Parents who stand in the gap, who pull back the roof and draw their children close to Jesus. How many wives, day after day, year after year, continue to intercede on behalf of their husband, or husbands on behalf of their wife, praying for healing, spiritual, emotional, complete healing. How many friends spend hours of their day praying, oh God, oh God, restore that family. Oh God, restore that friend. Oh God, bring healing. If we're to move forward, we have to allow Jesus to bring healing. Will you allow him? Will you be like this man and allow Jesus to bring healing in your life, in your relationships, in your family? We go forward. Paul said, forgetting what's behind and pressing forward. But we can never press forward until we experience healing from God. Physical, yes, but more so spiritual, emotional healing by faith. We go forward, not by our own power. Listen, if you think that this could happen by your own power, by your own energy, it won't. But with Christ, this man couldn't get up and walk. He couldn't do it, but the hand of Jesus brought all the change. His friends who had faith to bring him to Jesus, forward. And forgiving. Is this story about healing, or is it about forgiveness? Yes, it's about both. Forgiveness. Jesus looked at the man and said, not only can I bring healing, I think Jesus said your sins are forgiven, because all those religious leaders would have never thought Jesus could have made him whole without first forgiving. And Jesus, in his divine position, said, I forgive you your sins. We don't have to be reminded of sin. Every one of us, we know about sin. John said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. John said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sin, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus longs to forgive our sin. Thanks be to God that if we confess, if we admit, if we own it, Jesus forgives. Isn't there a direct correlation in our ability to forgive others? I think there is. We have a hard time forgiving others, and I think it goes back to because we just don't really believe that God could forgive us. We know ourselves. We know our errors. We know our transgressions. We know what it is to hurt others. We know what it is to sin. We know that. And do we really think that God can forgive us? He can, according to His Word. He can forgive us. Then who are we not to forgive ourselves? You say, yeah, but we know ourselves. If God can forgive us through Jesus Christ, if Christ can go to Calvary's cross to forgive our sin, who are we? Who are we not to forgive ourselves? I'm convinced our lack of forgiveness of others is because we just don't accept that God's big enough to forgive us. And then we don't forgive ourselves. Listen, God can forgive you. God does forgive you. God longs to forgive you. God so loved the world, He gave His Son that we might be forgiven. If we confess, He forgives. You accept that? Do we really believe that? If not, the whole gospel falls apart. It's nothing but some stories of a man who walked and lived and did some good. But we know it's more. That this man was the Son of God who had the power to forgive and to heal. Oh, and then He demands, that we must forgive others. God forgives us. And He longs for us to forgive ourselves because we're not bigger than God. And then He says, and you must forgive others. The Message translation says it like this. Peter finally got up nerve to ask, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive a brother, a sister, someone who hurts me? Seven? Jesus said, seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven. And then Jesus told the story. The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up. So the king ordered the man, along with his wife, his children, his goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, give me a chance and I'll pay it all back. touched by his plea, the king let him off and erased the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and said, "You pay me now." The poor wretched man threw himself down and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back." But the man wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw what was going on, they were outraged. They brought a detailed report to the king. The king summoned the man, and he said, "You evil, evil man, I forgave your entire debt when you begged for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who has asked for mercy and forgiveness?" The king was furious and put the screws to the man until he paid back the entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father, who is in heaven, will do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. Happy New Year, I said on January the 2nd. Paul said, press on towards the prize of the upward call, press on. A New Year's message, a New Year's resolution, press on. And as you press, live abundantly and love God and love others. And as you press on, serve. Take up the towel, serve, and share the good news. And I should have stopped. And as you press on going forward, you got to be healed. And Jesus will do it. He longs to heal your broken heart. He longs to heal those relationships. He longs and he has the power. And with that healing, that pressing forward, comes forgiveness. They can't be separated. We will never go forward until we forgive ourselves and we accept God's forgiveness and we forgive others. We will be right where we are today. And by our own power, can't do it. But Jesus can. He told the man to get up and walk, and the man went and walked and listened. And they all began to praise God. Everyone was amazed. And they gave praise to God, and they were filled with awe. And they said, "Today, we have seen remarkable things." I wonder if we could leave here today and look in our own life, moving forward, experiencing forgiveness and forgiving others, and look back to this Sunday in January and say, that day, God did some remarkable things. Shall we pray? Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. We can't do this. We can't do this in our own power. Father, it's hard enough just to do life. We experience brokenness. We know what it is to be hurt. We know what it is to be deeply hurt. There are relationships. There are families. There are entire communities that are so broken, so paralyzed. But you long to bring healing, and you can because you are God. God, your word tells us that if we'll confess our sin, you will forgive. And who are we not to accept that forgiveness and forgive ourselves? God, then you know, if you have forgiven us, who are we to decide that we don't have to, we don't need to? We'll still be broken. We'll be right where we are. But you desire to move us, to carry us. Oh God, today we want to be let down right at your feet. Right at your feet. For it's at your feet, in your presence, that you bring healing and you bring forgiveness. Lord, we need you. Right now, would you do a miracle in our life? Is my prayer in Jesus' name.